Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Hello, I'm Joni Winberg, divorce mentor and also the facilitator of how to emotionally and financially survive divorce. It's always my pleasure to do the show together with my co-host, Rosalind Sadaka. Hello, Roz.
Hi, Joni. Good to see you this week. I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm founder of the Child Centered Divorce Network, a divorce and parenting mentor, and author of How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? And I know that we have a topic tonight that's going to be of value to everyone listening. So why don't you introduce our guest?
Absolutely. In fact, she's a returning guest. We're thrilled to have her here is Betty Russell, and she is dating and relationship specialist. And she's really our go-to person when it comes to relationships. So Betty, I'm just thrilled you're here and welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we've got an interesting topic. We're going to jump right in, and it's called Debunking the Myth of the Failed Relationship. So give us a little bit of insight to, that was one of your recent articles. So give us some insight as to what you are meaning there and what you can help our listeners with.
Well, I think, you know, having been divorced, I know that there's a little social stigma to being divorced, and people look at the end of a relationship, be it a divorce or long-term or whatever, they see it as failed. And that's quite the contrary, because so many good things came from that relationship, whether you had children, your own personal learning and growth, and you can't say that it was all for naught. It was a wonderful time of your life, and how could it possibly be a failure?
Because at one point you were madly in love, so I mean it had to be something good there for sure. But that is so true. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but I remember feeling that. It isn't as much now, but back in the 90s, the stigma was still there. Did both of you went through that a little bit too, Roz?
The stigma about feeling that the relationship was a failure and so I was a failure. I think that's very common for people to feel, and I like the reframing of that concept that Betty is talking about, because I always talk about finding the gift in whatever bad has happened in our lives. We go through the drama and there's a lot of pain. But if you can find the gift and find the pearls and find the gems of new ideas and better ways of behaving and looking at things in life, then you can move ahead as a bigger, better person. And that to me is very valuable.
Absolutely. So how have you been able to help your clients, Betty, when they come with that attitude? It's pretty heavy. I mean, you know, society's tough out there.
It really is, and it's not to slight the pain of a breakup, because that, you know, is very painful regardless of, you know, long-term relationship or short-term, and we always work on processing through that, you know, the grieving, because it is a loss and it's a huge life change, but it's also a circumstance of life and it doesn't define who they are. So we work on that, and we look at all the good things that came about from the relationship, the personal growth. You know, maybe my client was the one that wanted to end it, and the courage that it takes to end it. Some people think, oh, you know, you're too lazy to work very hard, or you were selfish, or, you know, you wanted this and that, you know, your needs are not legitimate, which they are. So it takes a lot of personal courage to stand up for yourself and say, this is not working. And, you know, look at what you can learn from that experience. You know more about yourself. You've experienced tons of personal growth. You know what you need in a relationship, and maybe you learn to speak it or that you couldn't before, and it caused resentment or whatever the circumstance was. Mm-hmm. And to be able to take that with you, you know, to your next phase, your next relationship, I think it's a priceless gift.
I think also it helps a person. It is a lot of work to find that confidence again and build your self-esteem, but you know, it sounds like you help the women see the good and also believe in themselves again. I know that's a lot that I do with them when they're trying to move their life forward. Would you say that's true too, helping them believe in themselves again?
Oh, certainly. And to be able to trust yourself, trust your judgment that you are doing what's best for you and your highest and best good and your best interest. And, you know, you always have that doubt and those stages of that. So really working through trusting yourself, identifying your core values, what worked for you. You know, there's surely some good in it that you can take forward and know what didn't work. Sometimes identifying those deal breakers, we don't know that it's an unmet need until it isn't met. And then it's quite obvious. So it really helps them to identify all the things and put labels on them, you know, give them a name, give your emotion a name, how you're feeling going through the process, you know, what have you gained, and really look at all the positives that came out of it so that you, you know, don't feel like you were sucker punched because of the end of a relationship.
And I would say even write it down. Uh-huh. To believe right. That.
Yeah, lists are always good, you know, and kind of remind yourself, you know, what you worked, you know, maybe you had children with this person, you know, gosh, how fortunate is that? You know, you could never see that as a failure. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're a better co-parent when you're outside of the relationship without the pressures of, you know, cohabitating with someone. There's so many good things that can come out of it. It's just a shame that people will say that it's a failed relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, if you set a goal to run a marathon and say you didn't finish, it's not a failure. You still ran the marathon. I think the relationship is the same circumstance.
What do you do when you have relatives that, you know, say, or friends, they mean well, but they actually come across to say, oh, I'm sorry your marriage failed, and it really puts that guilt on you or that shame. How do you, any suggestions for our listeners, how do they deal with that?
Well, you can thank them for their genuine concern, because sometimes they don't really think about the impact of the words that they say. You know, when they say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, they're sorry for, you know, having to go through such a, you know, traumatic experience, because an end is always a loss. And they're well-meaning, you know, mm-hmm. So I think you just have to take it with a grain of salt, so to speak, and just say thank you. You know, we're, you know, moving on, and you know, if you don't want to talk about it, change the subject, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, people generally mean well, but they sometimes don't realize what they're saying or how it hurts or the shame that it, you know, puts on you, or how you're feeling with the shame. As far as Roz, any questions that you have for Betty too?
Well, yeah, I'd love to talk more about what we can do when we get some insights. We can't make changes unless we first acknowledge what we've experienced. And if we can get some insights and look at the past and say, now I know that I'm much better suited to a person like this, and I want to avoid that type of person, or I want to avoid those situations, or I found myself behaving in a way I wasn't proud of, and now I want to make changes, whatever that is. So now that we have that insight, how do we manifest that in attracting the partner so that we're really getting a better partner this time around? We don't want to be in that cycle of mistake after mistake and divorce after divorce, right?
Right, Rosalind, and you're so on spot with that, because people will attract the same type of person again if, like you said, they're not uber aware of, you know, what they want and what doesn't work for them, because it's familiar. And then they end up, like you said, in that cycle of, you know, they're not getting their needs met in their relationship. So mm-hmm. I think it really is an opportunity for personal growth to stop. You know, we're always so busy doing, we don't really take time for being, and really stop and evaluate, you know, what are your core values? what do you need in a relationship? What are your deal breakers? So that whenever you meet someone, you can identify these quicker, you know, before you invest, you know, your time, emotions, you know, for both of you. If you know it's not going to work, you know, if they can't meet your needs, then that way you can move on sooner and not keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again.
And plus, I found that the big step is even for a person to come to that point to say, instead of blaming the other, and, you know, I've heard couples say, oh, I'm fine, it was the other person. Well, it takes two, for sure. So I know it's hard to look in the mirror, but you can't worry about the other person. And this is where I see a lot of people say, well, I'm fine, I'm just going to go out and start dating again. And then all of a sudden, they do attract the same person, Roz, like you're saying. They haven't even reached that point of the of realizing what's going on. And generally, when I see someone going through a second divorce, if I know them well enough, I might tease them and say, oh, sounds like, did you get any work done? Did you rediscover yourself? And they'll say, oh, no, it wasn't me, it was them. But now they're going through a second divorce, maybe a third. So do you find that too as well?
Right. You know, they jump into what, you know, we call a rebound relationship, which is just a Band-Aid over unprocessed emotions and how they're feeling and that self-awareness. And it might work for a little while, but it's not going to last. I mean, at some point they have to do the work or they're just going to keep repeating, you know, the same behavior, as Rosalind said. And I think what makes people want to do the work is because the pain of what they're experiencing, mm-hmm. you know, they want that to stop. They don't want to continue down that same pattern. So, you know, you really need to take that time, and, you know, there's no magical number on how much time that each person needs to process the loss. And something that I found real interesting with a client I was working with, although she lost the relationship, she did not lose her hopes and dreams of her future, of the life that she envisioned, you know, her relationship goals. It was just, you know, the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And so she really worked full circle to come to that realization, you know, that she didn't have to give up her hopes and dreams.
I also think there's an important point before you move on in even opening the door to a new relationship. If you still have an emotional attachment, whether negative or positive, to your past partner, mm-hmm. if you hate them or you still love them, you're not in a position to be opening the door to another relationship. You really have to get that cleaned up and cleared up and put it behind you, because otherwise it's like running towards someone with your hands wide open, but your head is looking backwards because you're still caught up in the past. And hatred and anger and resentment is just as strong an emotion that keeps you caught in the past as love. So regardless of what that attachment is, you're not psyched up and ready and prepared for that new relationship unless you can close the door and say, I'm ready to forgive and forget and move on because I love myself enough to know that my future is more valuable than wasting my energy pining over a past relationship or being angry about a past relationship.
I would say the famous word that we always use, Roz, is being conscious of this and being in that position that they're willing to do the work. And you know, like I said, it's not always fun looking in the mirror, but it's something that has to be done. Absolutely.
And forgiveness, you know, not just forgiveness for them, but for yourself, you know, like you'd mentioned, they were doing things in the relationship that were not, they weren't in integrity, you know, that was in unalignment with them. And maybe they feel guilt about, you know, that they lowered their standards to maintain this relationship or they hung on when they knew, you know, it wasn't right for them for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And just to be able to forgive yourself is so huge. You know, you made mistakes, things that you don't want to happen again. Mm-hmm. So being able to forgive yourself is a huge part of the work.
And what are some of the guidelines that we can, questions to ask and guidelines for knowing that we're choosing a better partner, because some people I find are so focused on height and weight and color of hair and superficial things, and they're missing what's the character traits that are really, really important. What questions should we be asking when we meet someone new and getting to know them?
That's a great point, because they do get caught up in the physical attributes of someone and not looking at their character or even their personality. They can meet someone that's friendly and automatically they assume, oh, this person is honest or, you know, holds some of the similar values that I do. So it's really important to be discerning, like you said, and ask the right questions and get to know someone and experience them, because initially when we meet someone new, you know, we put our best foot forward, they're putting their best foot forward. So it takes some time to really experience that person, see if their words, their actions match up with their words, because sometimes, you know, that's a real big red flag. They'll say, oh, I do this, but then their actions will say something completely different. Mm-hmm. And really take your time to get to know someone. There's no hurry, you know, rush. You're not in a rush to, you know.
I always say that. What is the rush?
What is the rush? Questions you could ask, you could talk about, you know, their family, and it would give you an impression of, you know, maybe how important their family is to them, their children. Do they have close relationships? Can they maintain long-term friendships? You know, things that are of value to you. Those are the characteristics that you need to be looking for.
I think the big thing too, and I've gotten brave about this myself over the years, is when I was after first divorce, and then the more you date, that I would actually ask those questions or put it out there and not be afraid of the answer. And I mean, you feel as though you got a good relationship going, you don't want it to end, you know, you start to look at the other way or you ignore the red flags. But, you know, I always just say, be brave enough to ask those questions or those situations to see how that person would react. And Roz, you and I have talked about before the 3-month rule, you know, give that person 3 months to see if the true representative has left, so that you can see their true colors. Because I can't tell you how many people I've worked with that after 3 months, they said, oh my goodness, where did this other person come from? They were so different at the beginning, you know, so.
I had it myself when I was dating. Also, I do want to interject, if you're a parent and divorced, then you have to be especially careful about not introducing new partners to your children too early. You don't want to have that revolving door where your kids are meeting people, maybe getting attached to them for a few months, and then the relationship breaks off and there's someone else floating in and out. And you want to be very upfront from the beginning about the fact that you are a parent, you love your children, they come first in your life. And if you find someone who doesn't really like your kids and get along well with your kids, that might be a big red flag before you even go any further.
Absolutely, absolutely. Betty, have you found that too, as far as people jumping into the situation and maybe not focusing on the children, but, you know, get caught up in the lust and the fun and the newness of a relationship.
Right. They're in a stage where they're all about themselves, and they kind of put their children on the back burner and kind of go through a little wild stage sometimes, we'll say, before they figure out that that's not really who they are either. Mm-hmm. And I think a real critical question to ask someone when you first meet them is, why are you dating? You know, what's their intention? Are they dating, you know, for just social interaction, companionship? Are they looking for a long-term relationship? And to, like you said, you know, Jody, it's kind of hard to ask that question because you're putting it out there, but it's so important, because you may be looking for a long-term relationship and they just want to hang out. Mm. You know, you're not, you don't have the same goal. So it's just not, you know, feasible for you to continue or get your hopes up or invest a lot of time and energy into this person.
I have so many just friends in general, they would tell me the story of the situation. And first of all, I said, are they divorced? Rule number one, are they divorced? Separation does not count. You know, I remember so many women say, oh, but they said they were separated, they're going to get divorced. I said, oh, okay, but they're not divorced, so they're not available. And then how long have they been divorced? So if they're just recently been divorced, to me, there's a lot of stuff going on there still, haven't done the work. And then also just to, you know, have an understanding, like you said, ask those questions that can possibly help you with clarity. I find a lot of women, especially the baby boomers, that whether it's the man or the woman, that they want to just go out and have fun. They're really not wanting a committed relationship. I don't know if that's a trend or not, but I see that a lot. I don't know if the two of you see that too.
Well, the most important thing is that you're both in alignment about that. And so
right.
I agree with you. Getting that question answered up front, so that why are you dating? Because if you're both there to have fun and it's mutual, that's fine.
Go for it. Yeah.
But one person has different expectations. That has to be really clearly stated right up front, or else you're in for a lot of disappointment or hurting someone else, and that's not fair. Mm-hmm. And sometimes friendships or just fun relationships evolve on a different level, but you do need to talk about what your goals and aspirations are and your values. You know, I found, especially as people move into the boomer generation and age, you look at the future differently. Some people may be looking towards retirement years and traveling around the world, while the other person is looking to spend time with the grandchildren. That's mm-hmm. not a very good fit, because you're going to be bickering over what to do with your time. So you need to talk about hopes and dreams and aspirations at every stage of life to see if there's some synchronicity. I really don't believe opposites are a healthy relationship pattern in the long run.
Boy, it sounds like we've learned from that one.
You know, it makes sense. The more you do share and have in common, the less hassles you have, because life is going to throw barriers at any relationship, but you don't want to start with extra barriers that make it more confusing and difficult.
Now, if we could only think of that, or young people dating, if they could only have that understanding. But we are very much always attracted to opposites, but that's young love, I guess I'd call it.
That's an old saying, opposites attract, but they don't stay together.
In fact, I even go a step further, say opposites attract and then opposites attack. And boy, I can tell you quite a few such couples on that one.
a very valid statement. Why don't we have Betty tell us how people can find her and get in touch with her, and where you're located?
Sure. They can contact me at befreetolove.com, or they can email me at Betty@befreetolove.com, or they can call me at 615-283-3393.
Mm-hmm. And so are you working locally or nationally as well? How do you work with clients?
I work with clients all over the United States and Canada. We have most of our sessions are phone or Skype, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow. So. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
The capital.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So that way there, it doesn't matter where the person is, and they can, so is your goal mainly to help them rediscover themselves, build that self-confidence? And then I know you also help on the dating end. So when you feel they're ready for dating, or they've done the work, and then you also help them on that part of the dating scene too. Is that correct?
That's correct. We work on, you know, different options, you know, whether they're interested in online dating, meeting locals, you know, where to go, the, you know, meetups, and we come up with a plan, an mm-hmm. action plan. So we don't just talk about it. We really move forward into getting their relationship goals met, so they do get out and meet people.
So that would be working on their profile and everything, if that's online, if they're
online. Online dating profile, kind of what to look for, how to protect yourself.
Okay.
You know, there's just so much spam, and you know what dating sites are better for them, what, you know, works for their interests, because there is an online dating site for every interest in the world, including Star Wars.
Yeah.
Whatever you're interested in, there's one out there.
I didn't know that.
Can you let us know what the biggest obstacle you think people who are dating after divorce face, and what advice would you leave us with about that?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle that people face after divorce is they're too quick to want to fill the void mm-hmm. of, you know, the other person that's gone, either, you know, just the warm body or the companionship. So my advice is to take it slowly rather than take anybody that gives you attention. We do exactly the opposite. We screen out those people, so it increases their odds of a successful relationship. Mm-hmm. And they're vulnerable. You know, it's a vulnerable time, and it really goes slow with yourself.
Mm-hmm. As we said earlier, what is the rush? You know, but I know people are lonely or wanting to get back into the relationship, love that couple feeling, and don't want to be alone. So that's part of it too. Mm-hmm. You know, society plays that heavy role. Also, on the other end, when right. we are divorced, to say, so when are you getting married again, or when are you dating anyone? You know, so it's like, you know, the pressure's there for sure. Betty, it's always a joy to have you back on the show and to talk about this. It's been a very interesting topic, debunking the myth of the failed relationship, to cease the shame and the feeling of guilt, and to know that it's a good thing, you can pull the good things out of it. So we're so grateful that you're on the show and appreciate it, and thanks for coming back on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. And also, Roz, would you like to update us on yourself and what, how you support people? I know a lot of co-parenting, but give us some insight here.
Yes. Well, through the Child Centered Divorce Network, I offer books and courses and programs and do personal coaching as well on divorce and parenting issues. And if you visit childcenteredivorce.com, you'll find all of those resources available. And if you click on the coaching button, you'll see several options, an audio coaching program as well as an ebook program that gives you all the tools and resources you need for successful co-parenting, which is such an important part of the equation.
Huge.
And Joni, what are you up to lately?
I'm on the personality side, so I can help you recognize those opposites. So I work with, even in the corporate world, in leadership, and helping them communicate. But when it comes to couples, I would love to help people not get divorced. So if they can understand their opposites and learn to respect each other and meet in the middle, that would be a great goal. But after divorce, pretty much as we said earlier, if we can recognize some of those traits that are our opposites and just say, man, I don't want to go there. So in fact, there's actually a formula to use. First, I have to understand myself so that I can understand others to build a better relationship. So that's what, and the website is freshstartafterdivorce.com. So we'll walk you through that. But thanks both to both the ladies for being on the show, and also to our listeners. Go to divorceview.com. You can see the interview again with Betty Russell, as well as we have a podcast that you can listen to. So if you're on the go, you also have a podcast choice. So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.